Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
We should all know the importance of cancer screening, but imagine when that isn't in your language when you get the information and don't have any understanding, or perhaps didn't have the opportunity to be educated at all. Red Cross have developed a program called Health in My Language. We'll be talking today to Dulcy Diaz-Lanos about how they talk to migrant women about the importance of breast, cervical and bowel cancer screening. Dulcy, so glad to have you on the program. Tell us about your role at Red Cross, firstly, how you became involved.
Thank you first for this opportunity. Thank you to you and also to your listeners. Yes, I got involved since June 2022. We have been delivering Health in My Language program with health topics. At that particular time, we used to deliver mental and physical health topics plus COVID vaccination update. Then we have been doing this program since June 2022. Recently, we stopped talking about COVID vaccination and we are now talking about cancer screening Save Life project. We are very lucky to continue with the program and with the model because I'm the project coordinator and I supervise 5 bilingual or multilingual health educators. We speak more than 7 languages in my team and we go to different community groups and deliver health topics. In this opportunity, cancer screening topics to the migrant women or refugee women.
And Dulcy, of course, we all know the imperative there was around COVID to get messaging out there. And there was a lot of conversation and a lot of people within the migrant population who missed out on that information. So no wonder this was developed and it's glad that it is. But did that then show that there was lacking in other health issues and areas that women didn't know about that they wanted to do this?
I will say yes. I'm part of Red Cross and the founder is the Department of Health and Aged Care. It is a very good question to ask directly to the federal government, but I will say yes. In the way that we have been doing this since June 2022 with health topics plus COVID vaccination update, and now we have been requested to do a cancer screening, and we finish on the 31st of October, and we will continue. But the new topic is sexual reproductive health. Then I will say yes to that question. I'm not part of the government, but I will say yes, because we have been requested to do other health topics.
So, Dulcy, just walk us through, I mean, we all know why we should have cancer screening, but where do you see the blocks that it's necessary to have someone talk to you rather than just read it in translation?
Well, one of the biggest issues or barriers is the lack of language, in this particular case, English. But then let's say, like you mentioned, I give you a printed information in your first language. There is a lot of people coming from countries that they didn't have the opportunity to receive education. And for example, ladies from Afghanistan, they didn't have the opportunity to study. And then they are illiterate in their own language. Then we have a population of migrant women or refugee women, then they are also illiterate in their first language. The printed paper work for some community groups, but not all of them. And then the best way is the oral communication.
Of course, that makes sense, doesn't it? So that's a lot of legwork on the ground. How many people have you got working on this stuff?
Well, I do supervise 5 people in South Australia. And this program is led by the organization located in Victoria, Multicultural Center for Women Health. There are other organizations around Australia delivering this program since June 2022. In relation with Red Cross, we are in South Australia, Tasmania, and now in North Territory doing Health in My Language. In my team, we got a person that speaks Dinka, Swahili, and also I got a person that speaks Dari, the language from Afghanistan. I got a person that speaks Farsi, also Arabic, Kirundi, and Vietnamese, and myself that I speak Spanish. Then we got more than 7 languages, and we deliver this important information in these main languages. Very much the idea is to encourage or to increase the awareness about cancer screening. We're talking about breast screening, vulve screening, and the cervical screening. We concentrate in these three main ones, and we deliver the session in people's first language.
Darcy, I was interested that you didn't have skin cancer on there, and the reason being for a lot of migrants have no idea that this is even an issue until they come to this country and can live here for some time before they realise just how hot and damaging our sun can be without protection.
I completely agree with you. I did find out when I arrived 24 years ago how different is the weather here and specifically the sun. And yes, I do agree with you. Who knows? Maybe later on we are going to be requested to deliver sessions about skin cancer. We are doing these three screenings because the data is showing us our communities, the migrant communities, they are not participating in this screening. It is not about, I always like to say to people, it's not about that we don't care. I don't care about my health. No, it's not about that. It's about that I don't know where to go, what to do. I don't understand the system. Where can I go and book a breast screening? The data is telling us that we need to increase the awareness in these communities to participate, to go and book for a breast screening, to go and book with your GP to do the cervical screening. We are aware that when the home test kit from the bowel cancer, national bowel cancer, arrive in our homes, people put it in the rubbish bin because they don't understand.
People who have English as their first language put it in the bin, Dulcie, which is concerning.
Exactly. Then what we do is, I got, for example, we got this demo and we opened the home test kit because we want the people to be familiar with these things, you know? And we do explain the symptoms that you need to be aware about these three type of cancers. And we do explain what to do, where to go. And then also we got the demo about the self-test for the cervical screening. Then the person with a cervix will
be... They can do that self-test now. I thought you still had to go to a doctor for that.
You still go into the doctor and book an appointment because the family clinic will take you to a specific room and then you do it when you are there. It depends on the family clinic, but most of the time you do it there, your self-test. And then when you finish the self-test, you give it back to the doctor. Some GPs maybe give it to you, then you can take it home. But then we need to be very careful, could get lost, contaminated. But it's a less, females, we feel more comfortable maybe with this one and not so much with a pap smear.
Yes, I understand that.
Yes.
For those of us who've had them, they are not always, but they're very necessary. So
very
we do
important.
Need to have them. Yep. What about breast? Is that using mammograms for that?
Well, then when we're talking about the breast screening, we do mention about how to do your self-test, looking around for the lump or looking in front of the mirror for any particular change. We also show people what is a mammogram. And we explain what it is. Yes, we understand for some people it could be uncomfortable. Maybe some people have reported that it's painful. But if you put it in a balance, it's 10, 15 minutes of your life. Please do it. Mm. Early detection, the best.
Absolutely. And specifically with bowel cancer, it can be, as you said, if it's detected early, you can do something about it.
Yes. I do like to mention not only to people that English is the additional language, I also like to mention to English native speakers. I'm not representing the government here, but I do compare with my previous country, and we are very lucky to receive this for free. Mm. When I became 50 years old, I receive it. I still receive it every 2 years, and I do every 2 years. I need to recognize that this is an amount of money that it comes to help us, you know, and it's for free. I know maybe the first time that you are going to do the home test kit, maybe it's a little bit different, as I say smelly, because you're going to take a little bit of a sample of your own poo, but this will save your life. Especially when these cancers are very silent. Sometimes we may not have signs and symptoms.
Well, cervical, often no signs.
No signs. Then the science are telling us that we need to do the cervical test every 5 years. Please do it. If you noticed and something has changed in your body, because you know your body the best than anyone else, if you notice that there is a change, please don't wait for the 2 years to do the breast screening. Go and talk to your GP. That's the first thing. Go and talk to your GP, and then the GP will refer you to do the breast screening. If you notice that something has changed in the last couple of years, don't wait for the 5 years to do the cervical test.
No, do it more often. I'm talking to Dulcie Deslanis from the Red Cross. She's in the Health in My Language program. We're talking about cancer screening today and prevention. Is the importance of women being able to voice their voices being heard, them overcoming their fears, getting the information and the knowledge. But what about other influences on their life? What if they have partners who don't believe in this or want to be present? How is that handled? Because in some other cultures that can be an issue.
Well, my understanding in relation with breast screening, you are more than welcome to come with a friend, even with an interpreter.
With a partner?
Well, that is a very good question to ask to breast screening. I'm aware that you could attend with your friend and with your daughter, with a female interpreter. That will be a question to ask to breast screening if your male partner could go with you to the breast screening. I know that the interpreter could be with you during the exam, because you need the translation, and the interpreter and the radiographer, they will move to the protecting area when they're doing the mammogram. If your male partner could be present, that would be a question to breast screening.
Mine was more about the male partner's permission, where in some cultures that's required to do things.
We do explain the benefits of doing this. For the women to take more control of their life, they need to have knowledge. They need to know about the signs and symptoms and, yes, talk to a friend, talk to your GP.
It's interesting. I have spoken to breast screen in one of these podcasts, mm-hmm. and interestingly, what they were saying is a lot of their issues are where women are afraid to go because they don't want to know if there's something, or they won't go back and get the, if they've had a call back, they won't go back.
Yes, it is interesting now that you mentioned, because I did hear the podcast with Marita. Hi, Marita from Breast Screening SA. And that's the reason why I decided, I would like also to promote this program. Definitely, there is a lot of cultural issues or misunderstandings. This topic has been very sensitive because all of us, we have lost family members or friends with cancer. Some communities, they think that if they talk about cancer, they're going to get it. Something like that. It's very difficult to explain, but yes, there are some myths. And yes, there are some belief that we try to, this is not a taboo. Let's go to talk about our health. And this is one of the ones that we need to talk about.
That's good. But it's best to have it present and understood that there can be issues and that women are afraid whether they have first language is English or not. This is just a common thing, humans not wanting to know and hiding their heads about it.
We want to deny, doesn't matter which is your language, we want to deny, we don't want to do it. The beauty of the program, and I have seen it since we started in June 2022, is that when you deliver the session in person, in the people's first language, for example, if I do deliver a session in Spanish and Latino, the community feel more comfortable with me, the Spanish speakers, because we share the same culture, we may share the same religion, language, they feel comfortable, they ask questions. Because when English is our additional language, sometimes we feel a little bit embarrassed to talk in English because I don't know how to pronounce these medical terminologies, you know? The person feels more comfortable when it's delivered in their first language, less misunderstanding. And recently, I have been reading a paper about, even if a decent level of English, let's say, I am more comfortable to talk about my emotions in my first language. Because I may have a level of English at work, but I may have a limited emotional vocabulary. And there are things that I cannot explain in English that I only could say in Spanish. Things get lost in translation.
My partner's Italian. I was going to say exactly that, Dulcie. They'll all be talking and I'll say, I can't explain it to you because I don't know how to say it in English. So that's ridiculous.
Yes. And then even after I have been here 25 years, I prefer to go and see my psychologist in Spanish. Now you say that he's Italian, you understand that I need to move my hands, you know, because I'm Spanish.
Well, that's why he says the wrong word.
Yes.
You've got to understand a lot of what is in the way that it's said.
Yeah.
That you can't translate that way that you said.
Yes.
And that's interesting you say, Dulcie, about the emotion, is that you can translate an academic intent or a verbal description, but when it comes to the emotion behind it, much harder.
It's very hard. And then it's harder even after so many years here. Even after doing university studies, I go to my psychologist in Spanish, you know? And my partner is Australian, 24 hours, 7 days per week, English, English, English. I like to talk about my emotions in my first language. Groups, then they didn't have the opportunity to study in previous country. They don't feel so comfortable asking the silly questions. Then they feel maybe more comfortable to ask any kind of question or share an experience when it's in their first language.
Would it also be true, Dulcie, that it's easier because you can use stories to parallel? You can draw on things in your own language and culture to say it's like, and it might be families getting together, or it's like you can use those analogies, whereas you can't English to another language.
Yes. And also, I don't know how to say this, but it's like when we look similar, when we sound similar, we are more comfortable. For example, you went for a trip and let's say then you arrive in a country, then you are very unique and different. You feel a little bit uneasy. Then when we look similar, when we sound similar, we feel more comfortable.
Very true. So I've just experienced that in about five different countries, so I can totally. But even just asking basic things, it's so frustrating. And we're very lucky being English first language because of the internet. Otherwise, if it was something else, we'd all have to learn that.
Yes.
But even so, it's hard to get information across. And you know in your head what you're trying to say.
Yeah. I always like to say to people, it's not about the person didn't want to learn English. It's about we need to put ourselves in their shoes. Mm-hmm. If you're coming from countries then they experience war, conflict, you didn't have the chance to study, the trauma is very big. Mental health issues could be also a very big issue that prevent a person to learn English. Plus, between Spanish and English, we share the same alphabet. Let's say that maybe for me was easier. But no, when we don't share the same alphabet or when
really
we need
difficult.
To start from zero.
Mm.
Yeah, we do need to put ourselves in the person's shoes. There are reasons behind why somebody struggles with English.
I'll always say to people, for example, if we were having a conversation, Dulcie, and you said, I'm sorry, my English isn't very good, which is often what people from other countries will say, to which I will always say, well, my Spanish is shocking and nachos is about the best that I know. I do know a word. Because it's true. I mean, you're doing so well, whereas really I know very little.
And also, people need to understand that English is not even our second language.
No, of course not.
Then when we move from the first language to the third language, that takes a little bit of mental exercise. We are very lucky since 2022 doing this program. We are very lucky to see that we continue. Different topic. Now is cancer screening. Very happy to contribute to the conversation, to break taboos. The new topic is going to be sexual reproductive health. I'm pretty sure.
A lot of taboos around that one,
exactly,
I'm sure, Dulcie.
Exactly. And we need to be talking about menopause, one of my favorite topics lately. And then we are going to be talking about pregnancy. We are going to be talking about safer sex or safer intimacy. It's going to be an interesting journey.
And, of course, community centres are a great place for you to find a lot of these migrant women. So
yes.
Keeping up those close connections. So if you have migrant groups or perhaps you can speak to Dulcie about resources or promotion about the program, how do they find out more, Dulcie?
Feel free to call me. My telephone number is 0410-502-546. Now that you mention community centers, we are very much established in Kilburn Community Center. We have visited also a couple of times Coinda Community Center. Also, we are going to Morella Community Center. Also in Marion, we have a very good working relationship with TAVE, SAVE, Adult Migrant Education Program.
Right. But if we go onto Australian Red Cross's website, is there a section for this program?
I'm not so good with technology, but feel free to give me a call or call Red Cross.
And we will, of course, on our CCSA website, we always put the background and all the information contact details up
with
the podcast, so you'll see it then.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing this information, this valuable program, Dulcie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity. Please take care and do your test, everybody.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au and feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.